The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, September the 12th, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 120th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, Little Village Magazine ran a piece in the run-up to the University of Iowa's First Folio exhibit about a kind of video Shakespearean karaoke, with iambic pentameter coming up on the screen for the player to read aloud as the character is represented as an animated avatar. Sounds pretty cool. The Guardian was one of many outlets to cover the release of an article in a Melbourne, Australia academic journal positing that Shakespeare didn't really invent all those words, that it was just the earliest editors of the Oxford English Dictionary were biased to credit him. The Las Vegas Journal-Review ran a great piece on the recent retirement of the Utah Shakespeare Festival's chief leader of seminars. Man, I would love to have that job. The Virginian Pilot ran a story about a new museum exhibition in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that looks at shipwrecks and storms in Shakespeare, running through October the 23rd. After a surprisingly long break since its last great piece, the Oxford University Press blog roars back with a great piece on racism in Shakespeare. Good thoughtful stuff. KMPR Public Radio in Las Vegas previewed a lecture given last week on the concept of gambling in Shakespeare. Gambling. Vegas. Makes sense. The Guardian ran a piece previewing the upcoming production of The Tempest by the Royal Shakespeare Company, which will feature some pretty incredible motion capture technology. Sounds awesome. WABE Public Media in Atlanta ran a piece with audio previewing the Atlanta Shakespeare Company's upcoming performances of all three of the Henry VI plays over the course of the next 3 months. Broadway World previewed the upcoming Royal Shakespeare Company production of The Tempest coming in November. What caught my eye, though, was the concurrent artistic installation at Stratford of Conduct the Storm, an interactive multimedia piece that allows playgoers to conduct the computer-generated storm via hand gestures. Cool stuff. The Manukau Courier previewed a Polynesian-inspired Macbeth, opening this week in New Zealand. The Independent reviewed King Lear by Royal Shakespeare Company, running in Stratford-upon-Avon before moving to the Barbican in London in December, giving the production 4 or 5 stars and saying it moves and impresses. The Marin Independent Journal reviewed Othello by Marin Shakespeare, running through September 25th in San Rafael, California, saying its tragedy feels somewhat muted. The Daily Californian reviewed Margaret of Anjou by Those Women Productions, a conflation of the texts of the first tetralogy, Henry VI's three parts and Richard III, cut to focus on the story of Margaret, Henry's wife. And the Journal called this restructuring, plus some new text, a bold radical act. The San Jose Mercury News also reviewed the production that closed this past weekend in Northern California, calling the production engaging, but an even, but ultimately a success. And finally, the Daily Review reviewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by Filter Theater and Lyric Hammersmith at the Brisbane Festival this week in Australia, saying that purists may balk at this total reconstruction of the play, but the ribald plot is a blast. The Australian also reviewed it, calling it a spoof on Midsummer and a side-splitting one. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On September the 6th, 1998, Akira Kurosawa died. The Japanese film director made two of the best Shakespearean adaptations ever made. Throne of Blood, a samurai Macbeth from 1957 with Toshirô Mifune, and Ron, King Lear with three sons instead of daughters, in 1985. On September the 7th, 1533, Queen Elizabeth I, the ruler during the majority of Shakespeare's life, was born to Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn. She began her rule on November 17th, 1558, at the age of 25, when she succeeded her half-sister, Mary, Queen of Scots. On September the 8th, 1157, Richard I, Lionheart, was born at Oxford, England. King Richard was the brother of King John, as we've mentioned before. On September the 9th, 1513, James IV of Scotland died at the Battle of Flodden Fields in a defeat by British forces. Scotland had been allied to both England and France, but when Henry VIII invaded France, James sided with the French and in turn invaded England himself. His death at the Battle of Flodden Fields was the last time a monarch for any nation of Great Britain was killed in battle. On September the 10th, 1955, Siobhan Fahey was born. The British pop star was a founding member of Shakespeare's Sister. Sorry, that's the best I could do for that day. On September 11th, 1987, actor Lorne Green died. Though best known for Bonanza and the first run of Battlestar Galactica, he played Othello in a very early television broadcast in 1953. On September the 12th, 1955, Orson Welles' Othello was released in the U.S. some 3 years after its premiere at Cannes, as he could not find an American distributor. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending September the 12th, 2016. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.